Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the beautiful day and the awesome opportunity to be able to gather in your house and to get into your word. Help us now as we get into it to understand it, to apply it in the right way, draw closer to you through it, and build our faith and trust in you and in your word. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our chronological study of the Word of God, the timeline study, as we continue through here, now in Exodus chapter 22, more of the laws that are being laid out. As it reads, "If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. As if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him." In other words, if you wind up hitting or striking or killing a thief in the process of stealing something, then you're not held accountable for that. A recent discussion about that here in the state of Virginia. If someone is breaking into your home, whether you have the right to defend yourself or not. And there's discussion about making the homeowner responsible if they injure a intruder into your home, which is ridiculous. They need to go back to the law here. You should have a right to defend yourself, even to the point of killing the intruder. As it continues, "If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution of, if he hath nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft." So if you injure a thief that comes in and you make him pay for what damage he's done or what he has stolen, got away with, if he's caught later, whatever, he has to be held accountable. And if he doesn't have enough to pay for what he is supposed to pay back, then he himself can be sold into slavery. Verse 4, "If the thief be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution." So if your animal got loose and tore up and ate up someone else's field, then you're responsible for the replacement of that. Verse 6, "If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution." We hear this happening in various places. Like in recent years, there was a really bad fire down in Pigeon Forge that wiped out a big area, a lot of the area. And the individuals that were responsible for that basically got a slap on the wrist, and that was about it. But here they're saying make restitution. So pay back the damage caused by the fire that you started. And in recent times, we've heard cases of someone smoking cigarettes and throwing a cigarette out onto the mulch around a house or something, and it causing a fire. And a relative of mine recently lost his home for that very thing. Another relative come in and throwed a cigarette down, caught the mulch on fire, burned the whole house down. No restitution there. Verse 7, "If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he hath put his hand unto his neighbor's goods." That's an interesting one there. It's like, okay, if you have something stored for someone else, and that item winds up being stolen by someone, then if they find a thief, they have to pay. But if they don't find a thief, then they're going to look at the one who was storing that item to see if he's the one that actually stole it. "For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, or for ass, or for sheep, or for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass, one ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. So if you borrow something from someone else, and something happens to it, you're responsible for it. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be a hired thing, it came for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. 18 is just sort of plugged in there, not much detail given on that. But it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Further in the Levitical priesthood and details about such behavior as witchcraft, there's other references to putting to death someone who participated in such behavior, witchcraft, the servants of Satan. It continues, verse 19, whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Over and over we're seeing these sentences of death, basically what we call today capital punishment. We know early on in chapter 20, in what we call the Ten Commandments, where he starts out, he says, thou shalt not kill. And then yet here we see over and over these references to someone does something in a particular way or manner and with intent or malice, then they need to be killed. So is that a contradiction? Many say that's a contradiction, but it's not. It's a misinterpretation and a misunderstanding of the words that are used when it's translated into English. If you go back and look at the commandment, is murder, which is homicide, which is unjustified killing someone, not execution because of a crime. As it continues, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widows or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. That's the Lord right there saying it. He'll take care of it if it doesn't get taken care of. He'll see to it. As if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer. Neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. This is talking about if you're loaning money to the fellow people, the children of Israel, you're not supposed to charge them interest, because that's what the usury is. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors, the firstborn of the son, thy sons, shalt thou give unto me. All of the first fruits, including the children, were to be given to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, to the service and use of the Lord's work. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with him them. On the eighth day thou shalt give it me, and ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. That's an interesting one there in verse 31. If they was to come upon an animal that was killed by another animal, they're not supposed to eat that animal. It's like, why would that be a problem? That's in there for their benefit. That could be killed by something that had rabies, and then they would get rabies and they would have to suffer from that, maybe die from that. Or it could have some other disease, and you're not supposed to go out and harvest something that had been slaughtered by another animal. Right on into chapter 23. Thou shalt not raise up a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. This we see a lot of false witnessing, and a lot of that going on today. We've seen it over and over in politics, a lot of lying false witnesses. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. We see a lot of that going on. The riots, the various ones through the recent years that have caused a lot of destruction, a lot of death even, and a lot of turmoil. Not supposed to be a part of a big riot to do evil, to do destruction, to do damage. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. That's the protesting. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. And that's like the Lord teaches in the New Testament. Do good unto even your enemies. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Don't receive gifts. Another place where people get misunderstood or confused receiving gifts. We give gifts as presents during celebrations, seasonal celebrations or birthdays or so forth, or just because you care about someone, you give them a gift. What he's talking about here is bribery. Don't bribe someone to encourage them to do something that you want them to do. And you're not supposed to receive such bribery. So you got to understand what he's speaking of here when he uses the word gift. It's briberies. He teaches further of this in the Proverbs. But that's what he's talking about. Don't be someone who bribes, and don't take a bribe. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. This is commemorating or remembering what the Lord has set as far as the 6 days of labor and seventh is the Sabbath, and to rest, and using this as well with the land, with your crops. It's good for the fields even to allow them to have a season off. You see a lot of farmers do this. They'll plant crops and they'll be growing various crops in a particular area, and then they'll take one season and just let it grow up hay or whatever sprouts or whatever come back up, and which is what they're referring to there. If something comes up that's harvestable, then allow the people or the animals to harvest that, not for you to go in to harvest it yourself. Verse 12, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. Notice, may be refreshed. A day off for everyone and even the animals to recover, to relax. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 days thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Commemorating their exodus from Egypt, Abib being the first month of the year. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of the land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. Seething would be if you was to cook a kid, meaning a young goat or young sheep, not in the mother's milk. Verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee unto the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. That was a commandment given to them. That was instructions given to them when they go into the promised land. They failed to obey those. They did not cast everybody out. They made covenants, contracts, agreements with some to let them stay, which we still see problems today because of that. And they did not clear out all the paganism. Some of it was left behind, which caused great distress and further judgment coming upon the children of Israel. As it continues, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and ye shall bless thy, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Which is awesome there. If we would all truly do this fully and completely, to love him with all of our existence, basically, then these things would be fulfilled. As he says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread, bless your food, and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and from before thee. And I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. Strategically removing the enemy out of the area in a proper manner so that what is left behind doesn't get destroyed. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into thine hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. That's the one that they don't wind up obeying. They do make covenant, and they do not clear everybody out like they were instructed to. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me, which they wind up doing. For if thou serve their gods, I will surely be a snare unto thee. And he does become a snare unto them. And there is judgment, and there is severe judgment that comes upon them, even to the point where the Assyrians come and wipe out and take captive and spread out most of the northern tribes. And then the Babylonians come and take captive those in Jerusalem, which were the children of Judah and of Benjamin, and take them into captivity into Babylon for the 70 years. All because they were not obeying these statutes and ordinances given to them, especially those concerning the paganism, not to be a part of it. And about, they were supposed to clean those people out there, that area, but they failed to do what the Lord instructed them to do. And they paid the price for it. All right, right on into chapter 24. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said we will do. That would have been awesome if they would have actually done what they said. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do, and be obedient. Once again, they're saying that they'll abide by it. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. All this blood, the use of the blood, the sprinkling of the blood, even at the Exodus when they were putting the blood on the lintel and the side post of the door as the death angel came by, all that blood is representative of the blood of Jesus Christ that would be shed and be able to cover us and make us righteous and cleanse us from our sins. All of the various rituals of the Levitical priesthood and the statutes, ordinances, and so forth are things to help us have a good, God-glorifying life, and also to look forward to what Jesus Christ would do. Verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and There was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Now we see here a reference to them seeing God. No one has been able to look upon the face of God Almighty, the Heavenly Father. When they were looking upon God, they were looking upon Jesus Christ, because he's the one that came down and interacted with them and gave them these ordinances and interacted with Moses, appeared before Moses and others throughout the Old Testament. Abraham, he appeared to Abraham. Abraham already previously to the Exodus and so forth was Jesus Christ coming down and doing that. The incarnation of God in the form of Jesus Christ, that he came down and interacted with them. As it continues, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand, also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone. Tables or tablets, the Ten Commandments specifically, as we recognize, being carved on that, but these contained even more. Tables of stone, and the law and the commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. After talking to them, after being with them, giving them what the Lord's already given him, that he was able to write down, and then going and getting the carved tablets, carved by the finger of God onto these stone tablets, and Moses up there for 40 days, it's interesting what we see unfold in the children of Israel as we continue this. How quickly they go against what they said, and how quickly it changes everything for them, as continues all the way to us today. But that's all we have time for now. Let's go ahead and close here. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. All these statutes and ordinances, it gives us a guideline that we need to know to have a civilized existence, to have peace, to have accountability, and most of all, to serve you and only you. We thank you so much for what you preserve for us to be able to study. Help us to apply it properly as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.